Chapter 43. Spire Albion, Habel Landing, Verminositor's Guild. The Verminositor's Guild was on the upper level of Habel Landing, and Grimm found it profoundly uncomfortable, somehow, to walk Habel streets made of anything other than spire stone. The black stone from which the spires had been constructed was all but indestructible, and had withstood the ravages of time for millennia. But the builders had taken the secret of its working with them when they vanished from the world. Modern architects were skilled, but when anything collapsed in a Habel, it was inevitably made of inferior masonry. Grimm knew he was being ridiculous. God in heaven knew that he walked far more fragile wooden decks without a qualm, both upon Predator and on the platforms of Landing. Nonetheless, he fancied he could feel the masonry floor beneath his feet flexing and shifting ever so slightly with each of his steps. The Guild Hall was down a narrow side alley, and if Benedict hadn't been there, Grimm might not even have noticed the alleyway at all. Its battered wooden door had the faint remnants of a scale lash carved into it, worn down to a faded design by time. A single small lumen crystal hung from a string that had been fixed to the doorway above. By its light, Grimm could see a placard on the wall beside the door. It stated, simply, "No unauthorized entry." A second, smaller placard immediately beneath it read, "No, you are not authorized." "Friendly," Grimm noted. Benedict smiled tightly. "They're a breed unto themselves, and they like it that way, which is why I'm not sure what the crystal is for." "It's a shade light," Grimm said quietly. "Some of my men put one up whenever I lose a member of the crew, to light his shade's way back to his bunk so he can rest."
"A bit heathen of them, I suppose,"
Benedict said.
"It's a tradition," Grimm said.
"Were traditions rational, they'd be procedures." He touched the light gently and then said,
"We all feel a need to mark the Reaper's passing somehow."
He frowned for a moment. "Were any Verminositors in the inn when the Silkweaver attacked?"
"No," Benedict said.
"Ah," Grimm said. "And how many of these men do you think are killed in a given year?"
"Not many,"
Benedict said.
"They're professionals."
"I believe it's strange coincidence to consider this death unrelated to our current troubles."
"I agree," Benedict said.
"Then this," Grimm said, "is what I believe professional inquisitors refer to as a clue."
"In my considered judgment as an occasional inquisitor for the Spireark," Benedict said, "I believe you may be correct." Grimm nodded and said,
"Excellent."
Then he turned and pounded hard and steadily on the door. The guildmaster was a man named Felix. He was grizzled and short, standing only a scant inch taller than Grimm's friend Bayard, though the resemblance ended there. Felix was blocky and solid-looking, though his nose was reddened with burst blood vessels, and his eyes were sunken, heavy things lurking back beneath a heavy brow. He was dressed in breeches and a tunic of heavy leather, with matching gauntlets tucked in his belt, next to the coiled circle of his scale lash, a long braid of metal rings woven together with metal scales throughout, forming a long, flexible reptilian coil. Grimm had seen them used before. In skilled hands, they could rend flesh like some kind of horrible mechanical saw.
"Gentlemen,"
Felix said in a low, growling tone,
"I have little time to waste on foolishness."
He nodded back toward a side room off the main chamber of the Guild Hall, where a form lay on a table shrouded under cloth.
"We've lost one of our own today, and our Habel's folk have suffered. What do you want?"
Grimm considered the man for a moment and then nodded to Benedict. "Sir, you may not remember, but we met briefly about 2 years ago," Benedict said.
I was in the uniform of the guard at the time. I was taking a deposition from one of your guild members about the stolen weapons crystals.
Felix squinted at Benedict for a moment, and then reluctantly grunted acknowledgement.
Sorello, right? The one that broke down the door.
Sorrelin, Benedict said. Yes, sir. Felix nodded.
I remember you.
I'm in the midst of an inquisition, sir, Benedict said, and we need to speak to you regarding any unusual activity your members may have noticed since the Auroran raid. The Verminositor's expression turned sour.
Other than losing a man and having a rotting silkweaver matriarch tear apart half the Habel, you mean?
Benedict smiled patiently. There were a dozen casualties, sir. Some dead, some wounded, and some still hanging in the balance. One of them is my 16-year-old cousin, Gwendolyn, whom I love quite dearly. His smile vanished abruptly, and his feline eyes went flat and glinted with flecks of amber and gold. The barest hint of a rumbling growl came into the young man's voice. We've all had a long evening, sir.
Felix became tense immediately, and one of his hands twitched as if to move to the handle of his scale lash. Benedict regarded him calmly, with absolutely no hint of hostility anywhere in his stance, only in his eyes. Anger smouldered there, far back, and Grimm took note of it. Young Master Sorrelin had presented himself as a calm and gregarious young fellow of Habelmorning's upper classes, but Grimm had, in his time, met a certain number of dangerous individuals. Though he was young, Benedict Sorrelin, Grimm judged, was one of them. Grimm turned his gaze to Felix. What happened next would depend a great deal on whether or not Felix had the sense to see what Grimm had in the young man. Felix was no fool. He grunted, turned away, and casually put a little more distance between himself and the looming warrior-born. He picked up a mug and swallowed whatever dregs were left in it before turning back to them and eyeing Grimm.
Who is he?
My associate, Benedict said calmly. Felix grunted, looking back and forth between them.
He's fleet, eh?
The Verminositor snorted.
Oh, civilian clothes, sure. But them boys could be naked and you could still see their uniform.
He squinted at Benedict.
You aren't in uniform either. Rotten ruin, what does that old man up in mourning think he's about?
Do you really want to know? Benedict asked. Felix shuddered.
And get drawn in further? God in heaven, no. I have troubles enough.
Wise man, Grimm said. I'd like to examine the remains of your man, if that's all right, Benedict said. Felix shrugged and nodded.
Suit yourself.
Benedict nodded his thanks and withdrew to the side chamber. He drew the cloth back. Grimm couldn't see much of the form beneath it and felt glad that he couldn't. What he could see was horribly torn and mangled. Felix didn't look toward the room. He stared down at his mug, turning it in hard, scarred hands.
What was his name? Grimm asked quietly.
Mobley,
the guildmaster said quietly.
Harris Mobley.
Grimm nodded.
How old?
Felix grimaced.
20.
Grimm nodded. Family?
Wife, brother, mother,
Felix said.
Wife's expecting.
Grimm made a soft sound and shook his head.
Felix nodded. He eyed Grimm.
You know.
Wish I didn't.
Felix let out a wry chuckle.
Drink?
Obliged.
The Verminositor poured from a bottle into his mug and a second one like it he took from the shelf. He held up his mug to Grimm briefly, and Grimm mirrored him. They drank. The spirits in the mug were not particularly fine, but neither were they feeble. Kettle would have loved them. Grimm swallowed it carefully.
Felix glanced into the room and then back down.
"How did it happen?" Grim asked.
"Mobley was out on a contract on his own," Felix said. "Against the rules. Not supposed to run without a partner. But with the baby on the way, he wanted to lay in some extra money. Silk weavers got him."
"Weavers? Plural?"
Felix grunted.
"Hatchlings. Matriarch, like the one at the Black Horse, will lay 50 eggs a day. One hatchling wouldn't have been a problem for Mobley. 6 or 7 wouldn't have been a problem. A few hundred, though."
Grim shuddered. "Bad way to go. You sure what killed him?"
"Those mouths of theirs make marks you can't mistake. Not hard to measure them and do the math."
"No offence meant," Grim said. Felix shrugged.
"All right.
What will you do next?"
"Sweep the tunnels as soon as we get enough of the lads together. Handle those hatchlings before they grow up. Coordinate with the guilds above and below Habble Landing. Make sure it doesn't become an infestation."
"Difficult job?"
"Hard enough," Felix said.
His eyes flattened, though his voice stayed gentle.
"But we'll get it done."
Grim nodded. Benedict reappeared from the side room. He had covered Mobley's body again. "Hatchling marks?" he asked Felix.
"That's what we saw,"
Felix said.
"That much venom, he never had a chance."
"I don't think so," Benedict said. "The wounds aren't right." Felix squinted at the young warrior born.
"How's that?"
"The blood," Benedict said. "It's congealed in the wounds."
"That's what blood does," Felix said.
"What are you getting at, Benedict?" Grim asked.
"I don't think your man Mobley was alive when those things caught up to him. He didn't bleed enough."
"Didn't bleed enough?" Felix asked. "What does that mean?"
"I think his heart wasn't beating when the hatchlings started on him," Benedict said seriously. "Did you notice his neck?"
"Neck?"
Felix asked. "We'd need to consult with a physician to be sure," Benedict said, "but I think someone broke his neck. Clean." Grim pursed his lips.
"And then tossed him to the silk weavers?"
Benedict nodded.
"Why?"
Felix asked.
"Why would anyone do such a thing?"
Benedict looked at Grim. "What do you think?" Grim swirled the spirits in his mug and said thoughtfully,
"I think they had to kill him."
"They? They who?"
Felix asked. Benedict's eyes widened in understanding.
"Mobley got close to the Aurorans. He saw them."
Grim nodded sharply and rose.
"The Aurorans are here, in Habble Landing."
He turned to Felix.
"You say Mobley was pursuing a contract?"
"Yes,"
the guildmaster said. Grim clenched his jaw and felt his hand fall to the hilt of his sword.
"Where?"